Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios. You can hit us up over here at 617-779-0985. I will get into it in more detail, but a Disney cruise is what I went on. Not the world's largest boat. You could feel the motion of the ocean.
Oh.
You could, there were times where that was a bit of an issue. But
you have to pop a couple of what are the Dramamines?
I've never in a boat, including a fishing boat, ever popped one in my life. And my mom had, like, these pharmaceutical grade ones that you put behind your ear, and that worked.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, lots of people from Boston. You can tell people from Boston because they are the ones constantly adorned in Boston memorabilia.
You never run into more people from Boston than when you go to the tropics.
Right.
It's the truth. Like, if you're to go to any place that is, you know, out in the ocean, everyone's rocking the Red Sox shirts and the Red Sox hats.
Yes. And
that's how we know we're from Boston. That's how we can recognize each other.
Everyone very nice. Lots of fans on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone very respectful. And because when the first people started coming up to me, I was like, they were all very nice, and I'm like, oh, can you imagine if there's, like, some psycho that, like, hates the show, and it's one of these guys who's perfectly willing to tell me.
And you're stuck on the boat with them?
And this is not a big boat,
yeah.
All things considered. But the life of people most people on a boat that work there work 7 months on and then 5 months off. There's something like 2,500 passengers on the boat. There was 1,200 workers. The service on these things, I will say, is amazing. But these guys have their own, like, life. They have their own, obviously, places that they stay that you can't have access to. They have their own bars. They have their own pool that they can go to. Someone's got to make a documentary about the life of these people that are spent 7 months on a cruise ship.
I have a buddy who did that. Like, when I was in, playing in my band, there was a guy that I knew who was a really good drummer. And after the whole music and I'm in a rock band thing didn't work out, he became a drummer for one of the Carnival. I don't know if it was Carnival. It was one of the cruise ship bands. It actually wasn't Carnival.
I was going to say,
yeah.
I wonder how many days he had diarrhea.
And this guy's not a bragger, but the amount of chicks that he got was insane.
Well, you would be having, and listen, I'm not, you know, 25 anymore, so people aren't going to be like going, hey, yeah. Well, yeah, people, I said it's got to be weird when you have sex with someone because you're so close together,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, not in the boat.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
You got your own little private section that nobody gets to go to.
No, but what I'm talking about, there's like no one catches feelings. Like, it's well known that
it's vacation fun. It's a vacation fun.
Yeah, but you're on the boat for 7 months in the very close quarters, you would assume, you know, that could bring up feelings and there could be, you know, it could. And if two people are fighting on a boat where you're crammed in with 1,200 people, but this guy was informing me that it was just an understood rule. If we have sex, you know, we've had sex, and that's fine. Like, things cannot get weird.
I see what you're saying. No. He was hooking up with people who were taking the cruise.
Okay, so I talked about that with people as well.
Okay.
And that's apparently very difficult. Because unless you're to a certain status, which is very rare,
mm-hmm.
you're not allowed to hang out in the areas where the guests hang out. And you're in a room that's like a jail cell with another guy, and to get so if it's very difficult if I go down to a stateroom where guests are and I'm seen by and you're going to be seen by like 25 people
sure.
that work on the boat that and then getting back to my room is very, very difficult. So
what about their room?
No, that's what I'm saying, is getting to their room.
No, I'm talking about the
passenger
room.
That's what yeah. I'm saying, like 25 people will see you. Don't there's so many people working on this boat. So the guy said, he said these exact words. He's like, it's like all blue balls. He's like, yeah, you know, there's like areas that I can go to where I can, you know, kind of hide away and have things happen. But like the idea of like taking a passenger down and having sex with them.
Yeah. This is about like 15 years ago. So I don't know how things have changed.
No, and I don't doubt your yeah. friend, but. And like the idea of like going ashore with like a chick from the boat. And by the way, the Disney cruise girls, if they're going on single, I don't think you want them very much. But I was very interested by the whole Disney phenomenon of being that. I so don't understand it. Because it's not something that I find horrible, like, you know, the Grateful Dead or something like that. It's just my kids don't care about the Disney characters. They're not particularly into the movies. I never was really into Disney.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand the appeal. Like, if my 7-year-old daughter doesn't care, I don't understand the appeal to a 40-year-old. But people love it. I don't know what it gives to them or what joy they take in it. They take their pictures with Mickey Mouse. They take their pictures with not like people from the new movies. I don't understand it at all.
How many like adult couples were there on their own?
Okay, so there's not much deck space on this boat. So there's a pool essentially with a water slide for kids. Then there's a pool where they show Disney movies, and that's for kids. But then there's this area, the Quiet Cove, which is for adults, which was packed all the time.
Yeah.
Kids not allowed there. So,
Pack a lot, boys.
But do you guys understand at all the Disney phenomenon?
For adults? Oh, yeah. I mean, I go because, you know, the kids have a great time. And listen, I enjoy being with, you know, the kids there. There's... You know, some of the rides and stuff are fun.
Yeah, the rides and everything, but it just...
And actually, the places you stay when you're at Disney are pretty nice hotels for the most part.
I'm talking specifically
but would I go with
Disney.
Like, no, but would I go with, like, my wife alone? No. I don't understand that either, but then again... I don't know. People trying to recapture the feelings of their youth, things were happy. I don't know, but I guess I understand it. I just would... It's not me.
What movies came out when we were kids? Like, the money it takes to go onto one of these cruises are expensive. What movies came out when we were kids that you would get obsessed with?
Yeah, we went through, like, our childhood was through a dark period, I think, for Disney. Like, there wasn't a lot of good stuff. Like, all the good stuff, like, started to come back out, like, around the late 80s, and that was The Lion King and, you know, Aladdin, and that was the resurgence of Disney.
I still don't
Disney.
Get
with
why,
us,
you,
it was like,
why you'd want to be surrounded by that. That you would plan vacations to be surrounded by Disney characters.
Yeah, it's for when you have kids. I haven't understood if it was just for adults. And maybe Dan Roach could tell you otherwise, but does he go without kids?
Yes, absolutely. He went on his honeymoon there.
Oh, that's right, he did.
Yeah, he went to his honeymoon,
and then right.
when his kid was born, he took him to Cooperstown. Yeah, he goes all the time without his kids. He goes once a year without his kids. And I understand that Dan would not come in studio, I've been told by Wally.
No, he would not. He would
Despite
not come in studio.
Rich's best efforts.
Yep, he would not
pulled
come in studio.
Pulled a Howard Stern pig vomit deal where he took the phone and walked down the hallway.
It's not a Howard Stern pig vomit thing. It was Dan Roach was down the hall. And he
I
would
understand.
Come down
I'm
the
just
hall.
Comparing
so
it
the
to the movie
down there.
Private
like, why
parts.
Why would you come
he's
in?
He's calling
doing.
You a hack is what he's doing.
Yeah. Right. It was so edgy the way I walked down the hall.
No. All right. So basically, Dan won't do the show anymore.
Maybe he will now, but he did not want to have to talk about, he thought that we were going to talk about everything going on with spring break, and I told him we would not, or spring training, and I told him we would not. I said, we just wanted someone to talk baseball with us.
He mentioned the phrase, I'll have a prepared statement at 10, I believe was his words.
Yeah, and then.
Boy, is he afraid for that job.
Well, listen, I don't blame him protecting it. It's like his life. I mean, he loves sports, and if that was taken away from him, it would crush him. But
they're
I didn't want to
fire him.
No, you see, but he thinks they will.
Like they're going to go. Hey, Dan, you talked about being disappointed about not going to spring training. You're fired.
In his head, yes, that's what he thinks. And you got to believe that.
I do believe that, and I've been saying that the entire time. I cracked that case 5 seconds after I heard you wouldn't do it, and then he sounded like he was going to cry when I called him on the phone off the air. No, he's afraid he's going to get fired. But I don't understand the. I don't know. I don't understand that constant fear of being fired when you didn't even do anything.
No.
You know, you could go, hey, you know, they chose not to send me. They sent a bunch of resources to the Super Bowl. I was there for the whole time. You know, you could make something up. They wanted to give me a break. All of that, but we'll have to muddle by without Dan Roach on the show. will have to tread water until Danny can come
back. Well, I just wanted to know when the statute of limitations was over. Like, when he can finally come on. Like, when he feels comfortable doing that.
Maybe opening day?
I would say now. He's been on the radio now. I know.
Why are we going to have him on now?
Well, I mean, if they did something interesting, I don't know. I have no idea.
So Dan can sit out for a while.
On the day that they signed J.D. Martinez, or they announced that he was going to be on the team, I was like, we got to have him on.
Yeah.
Like, this would be a great day. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's obviously extremely happy. It's the kind of day people want to hear Dan Roach. And then he didn't come on.
Yeah, well, that's Dan. Well, yesterday, very exciting news for the Bruins. Controversial for some. They've kind of fallen off a little bit here lately, as predicted. So they make a move. Sweeney obviously believes this is a cup contender. We can discuss the idea of Nash coming to the Boston Bruins and what they had to give up to get him. Here's the CBS Sportsman with Boomer Esiason, brought to you by the Injury Law Center.
You know, you need sometimes a guy with a little bit of attitude.
Dutcher and Rich.
Embarrassing to America.
One radio station. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed with Dutcher and Rich.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. I would like to hear this. I received an email on vacation that Amy Lawrence, who's not very good at her job, was going to be broadcasting live. Now, do we know why she was broadcasting live?
We don't know. We have not found out. I mean, she's got family, I know, in the area, so maybe it has something to do with that. But she's going to be in the studio right next door to ours on Thursday morning. And I've said there's only one rule. And that rule is that while I cannot speak with her until they go on, you cannot go into the studio where she is and kind of, you know, talk things over before she gets in studio, because that's going to be a very awkward situation, because we know that she's not a big fan of ours, and I know that she was very upset with John Wallach at the Super Bowl last year that he did not stand up for her honor like a knight in shining armor.
Right.
And so I don't know what's going to happen. All I know is that she's not looking forward to it, I don't think. The reason being is that there was a caller who called in last week and asked her what the deal was. So we had been speaking about it for a couple of days and trying to predict what was going to happen, why she was here. And so somebody, I guess on Thursday morning, called the Amy Lawrence Show and asked her this.
Josiah's in San Antonio. Oh, speaking of San Antonio, who's the nemesis in sports for you?
Quickly, I had another point to say, Amy. You do a good job on the show, and it just baffles me that, because I listen to Toucher and Rich as well, they constantly dog out.
I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I appreciate that you are on my side, but I don't care. I don't want to hear about it. Thank you, though.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So that was the end of the call.
Yeah, she doesn't care a lot. It sounds like that's not on her radar at all.
The way that she just shot him down instantly.
Yeah. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care.
So no. Not so, caring. This is me not caring.
So, John, is this going to be a lot of pressure for you?
No, it's not.
So you kind of brushed her aside.
It's not brushing her aside. I mean, you think this is going to be a huge deal on my part. It's not. I haven't talked to her in a while.
All right.
So it's not one of those things where there was a time where we would keep in touch occasionally, or I actually would call her, keep in touch occasionally, but I haven't in a long time. As a matter of fact, I have not spoken to her since Houston.
What about texting?
No. No. You thought I was trying to slip through a loophole there?
Yes, yes,
no.
I did.
I've not done that.
No emailing. No
emailing, no texting, no calling.
There's absolutely no chance she will come in the studio. There is absolutely none.
I agree with Fred on this. I think that this is kind of like, why would I bother type of thing? Why they don't like me, why would I sit in there anyway type of thing?
Well, you know, maybe listen, we've had situations before. We mentioned this last week when we had Bronson Arroyo. We used to make, you know, poke fun at him. And when he was offered to come on the show, we said,
great.
Listen, we rip on him a lot. Just want you to know that when he came in, he won us over.
Yeah, you know, I don't think Amy Lawrence is in that category.
Maybe you're right.
But
there's a chance. You know, there's a lot of people who we've ripped on, but when they came on the show, Stephen A. Smith's a great example. Another great example.
Yeah, but she's no Stephen A. Smith, nor is she the Boom Goes the Dynamite guy. She's not coming in here, and her wit and charm will take over.
Okay.
I mean, maybe if we had, like, pictures of cats on the wall.
And... Yes, that's right. I mean,
may I present Princess Leia, my new vehicle.
It is still the weirdest, loudest laugh over nothing.
That was strange. Very strange.
Yeah.
So Thursday morning, we'll find out whether or not the old romance can be rekindled between John Wilmot and Amy Lawrence. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe we'll put rose petals from that studio to this one and, you know, 20-sided die. So little it's from Wallach. Well, it is now abundantly clear that the Bruins are going for it. Yesterday morning, Boston agreed to a trade that would send Rick Nash from the New York Rangers to the Black and Gold in exchange for a 2018 first-round pick, Ryan Spooner, Matt Bolesky, and half of his remaining salary, college D-man prospect Ryan Lindgren, and a 2019 seventh-round pick. Nash so far this year is in the middle of an 18-goal, 10-assist season. Here is Don Sweeney yesterday on what he thinks Rick Nash brings to the team.
Well, we hope he's going to be the impact player he has been. We've identified that playing on that second line with David would be a boost to our hockey club, and we need it to be. You know, he's looking forward to the challenge, and hopefully we get to where we want to here in the next little while. But we've got a tough stretch ahead of us, you know, in March, and we're going to need everybody in the depth side of it to continue to move forward in the direction that we hope to and become the team that you know, gets to the dance.
Okay, so as far as what the Bruins gave up, I don't think anyone roster-wise is horribly upset that Ryan Spooner is being replaced by Rick Nash. Also, the fact that the Rangers are now going to eat half of Bolesky's deal is, woo, we got out of that one. But apparently, this Ryan Lindgren kid was supposed to be a pretty damn good prospect. And, of course, the first rounder definitely hurts. It's funny how, like, now everyone's talking about how great Lindgren was. Although, I do remember people saying nice things about him. They get him at, like, the beginning of the second round.
He's one of their best prospects. He's a top 10 prospect.
Okay.
From what I read yesterday, he is one of the three best defensive prospects they have. Lozon and Zboro are the other two.
Right. So they have three young defensemen up playing right now in the NHL.
Where is this kid going to play
anytime soon?
I mean, really, you didn't hurt yourself at all yesterday.
No.
The first round pick you gave up is a low first rounder. It could be one of the last five picks in the first round, if not lower than that. And you gave up this kid Lindgren. That was the deal for the Rangers, the prospect in the first rounder. They don't care about Bolesky.
And we've discussed
they
this.
Don't care about Spooner.
No, Bolesky, they had to be.
Right, that was, you have to take him.
Country.
They don't care about Spooner. If someone calls them up for some reason to trade for Ryan Spooner, they'll deal him in a second.
Yes. And as I said, since they got hot, I mean, since before the season, what do you need the first round pick for at this point if it's not to leverage?
Agreed.
I mean, your coffers are stuffed. I mean, you have to start getting rid of prospects. And I'm not positive about screwing with the team's. Here's the deal. I don't know how effective Rick Nash is going to be, and nobody does, because he's 33 years old. He hasn't performed very well in the playoffs. His play has kind of fallen off
a little
bit. He
hasn't been good in 3 years.
Yes. So the idea that you're bringing him in, I don't know what that's going to do for your team. You're not stuck with him, which I guess is a good thing. But is this the guy that you wanted to go after? But I have no problem with anything they give up for him, because you have a redundancy on defense. I don't know if that kid was ever going to come up. Your first round pick is just another guy you got to add to your coffers. I mean, it's the time to start, you know, moving talent for proven talent. But it shows Sweeney believes that this team is a cup contender.
Yep.
And, you know, they've got someone to play on the second line. Apparently, Cassidy felt uncomfortable putting his second line out in certain situations because he doesn't believe that they can play, 200 feet. So this solves that problem. We'll give Krejci more ice time, and they won't have to roll out the fourth line as much as they had been.
The other thing is Nash opens up interesting possibilities. For instance, David Backes was the other winger on that line at the end of the game last night. That's an interesting combination. Nash and Backes on the either side of Krejci. That's a really large, potentially physical line the Bruins didn't have before. And Nash at least has a track record. I mean, maybe he catches fire in the next 2 or 3 months. But
if he's motivated,
which he should be, and you know, he has a history of scoring goals in the past. It hasn't worked for him in the playoffs. And reading all the New York papers yesterday, Ranger fans were upset because he never performed during crunch time. He was paid to be the guy. Clearly, he isn't able to be the guy. And on this team, he won't be the guy. He's on the second line. He can kind of hide a little bit. I mean, maybe that makes him more comfortable. I mean, this is a win-win for both teams. The Rangers got stuff for a guy who wasn't playing very well, and the Bruins didn't give up a ton. Reality, I mean, you look at it, 5 assets for one player looks like a lot, but in reality, they really didn't damage themselves.
And they have to start moving some of these young prospects for actual NHL talent. And they did that.
Well, they also made a move for Brian Gionta, who has not played this year, 39 years old. He's a free agent signing for 1 year worth about $700,000. Not sure what's going on there, but here is Sweeney on the Gionta signing.
It wasn't that he didn't have opportunity to play this year. He made a family decision along with the opportunity to play in the Olympics. And we've known that all along. It was a short turnaround, is to be able to see this come to fruition for our club and for any other club, that he was entertaining this. And maybe he just waited to see what clubs might have been in a position to be in the playoff race, and we hope we continue to be one of those clubs, and he's going to add to that.
By the way, speaking of Olympics guys getting signed, didn't Chris Kelly just get signed as well?
He did.
Okay, I don't even know who he signed with.
Is it Anaheim?
I'm not sure.
I'm trying to remember,
I thought I read his name yesterday as well, getting snatched up for the Olympics. So there you go. We got Brian Gionta at 39 years old. Who knows if he'll even play this year, but he is now a member of the Boston Bruins as well.
That sweet, sweet depth. And that's another thing that Nash gives you, is that someone's going to get hurt and you're going to have a problem where you're going to need depth at the forward position, and this gives you it. So we'll see how that goes. But again, I don't have a problem with Sweeney at all giving up those assets, because he can afford to. And if you can't hang on to everybody, and you're right, this is the third, this defenseman is supposedly the third guy in the pipeline, and you already got three up. So, where's everyone going to play? All right, we will come back. We will have the headlines and so much more.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, 617-779-0985. Jennifer, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Who's this?
Well, you called us.
This is the game.
That's right.
This is
I don't know the difference between your two voices. Anyway, I'm calling a stick up for Amy Lawrence.
Okay.
Why do you think she does a bad job?
Because she does.
What about it? Do you think she doesn't talk about sports?
It's not very entertaining.
If you listen to her, she knows more about sports in her little finger than you guys would ever even hope to forget about sports.
Okay. Don't doubt it.
I'm sure that's true. Is she entertaining?
She's extremely entertaining. She knows everything. She talks about all the current news. She knows about the history of every sport, the X's and O's, every rosters, the stats. And she knows every single sport. Baseball, basketball, football, hockey, you name it.
So does George Will.
To NASCAR. Do you find sports not entertaining?
No, but what I don't find entertaining is her grandmother's apple pie recipe.
Oh, you know something? That's funny you mention that, because right after you put her down for the Thanksgiving thing, which, you know, you guys talk off topic about non-sports things all the time.
Yeah, but they're funny.
You only think so because you've got a constant laugh track behind you all the time.
Or the ratings, you know? Or the industry awards, but go ahead.
She's on from 2 to 6. And you know something? You're not helping her ratings. You're on the
She's
stage.
Not helping
She's
ours.
She's not helping ours.
She doesn't put you guys. She doesn't talk about you guys.
No, she's just by being on the air before us.
We'd like to have a good lead in. You know, that always helps out with the ratings
so
of the show after it.
Why don't you tell your listeners how good she is and that they ought to be listening?
Because we'd be lying.
And I don't feel
That's
comfortable.
Not lying. I listen to her all night long, and she's awesome.
What do you do for
really
a living? What do you got there from 2 to 6 you're able to listen? You got one of them
Sometimes I get up. Just I go to bed early, and I get up early.
At 2?
Sometimes, but that's none of your business.
Well, sure it is. So, what, you get up at 2? What time do you got to go to work?
No, I get up. I listen for an hour or two. You know, it's entertaining. I like it. It's awesome.
Jennifer, I want you to be 100% honest with me real quick. Jennifer, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I want you to be 100% honest with me for a moment. Are you related to Amy Lawrence?
I love Amy Lawrence. I'm not, of course, I'm not related to her.
Do you know her and John were engaged?
I don't understand not what true. You guys have against her. If you ever listen to her, she's really good. It's hard to sit there and talk about something for 4 hours.
I know.
That's
and
true.
That's,
she
true. Proves it every night.
She does an awesome job. And you know, so I want to go back to the Thanksgiving thing because you put her down for that. And like, whoever it is comes on after you, I think it was Zolak and Bertrand, the very same day, they did the exact same
Well, they're
same
terrible,
thing.
Too. The whole, the whole station outside of this show is an embarrassment.
I'm going to put this out there. I know why she doesn't say anything when somebody tries to bring it up on her show. When she tries, you know, that guy that called her up and says, I don't care, I don't care, I don't care. It's hard to work as hard as she does and to prepare as much as she does and to make it as entertaining as she does and to still be put down by guys like you. It's called sexism. Sorry. And she doesn't want to say that because she'll get.
Okay, Jennifer. Jennifer, let's review the night shows that have been on before us. The show that when we first started was a guy who did spirituality through sports.
Faith Through Sports.
Faith Through Sports, which is literally the worst show I've ever heard in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
It was a man who had would tell stories about his cats and about how at the lowest point in his life he would lock himself into a closet, and then he would talk about how he loved peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
That's David Stein. Yes.
That's David Stein. Amy Lawrence is 100 times better than David Stein. Then we had
JT the Brick Looney.
Then we had JT the Brick and Tom Looney, and Tom Looney sounded like a 1920s radio broadcaster, and they were no good. Then we had DA, who we made a whole thing about him being obsessed with women's feet. So Amy Lawrence is not the worst overnight host that we've had leading into our show.
She's great, and you know something?
But
you
take away,
be promoting her. She's
don't,
good. You
well,
could make her. You could.
But then we'd be lying. We do not
but,
find her
but
entertaining.
Jennifer, you can't
you
say it's.
Listen to her. If you don't find sports entertaining, what more?
But it's,
you can't make sports any more entertaining than.
Well, that's
does.
Your opinion,
she
but you have.
About sports.
But I just told you what you can't say it's sexist. And that's, you know what you're doing is you're demeaning the value of women in the workplace because if we avoided talking about her just because she was a woman, that would be sexist. And I just told you, there's not a show
no.
that's been on before us that we haven't ripped on.
I know that. I mean,
so
I know
how are
that.
We sexist?
But you can't say that she does a bad job and you can't say she's not entertaining. You've never listened to her.
I have to listen to her every day.
You know what? Our listeners, every morning when we come in, we have tweets going, I can't believe I had to sit through this.
5 minutes and then you judge her on that. You could turn your audience onto her and make her be the best lead-in you've ever had by a monitor.
Well, how about you do it? I'm going to give you 30 seconds to
no,
do the best Amy Lawrence commercial that you can
okay,
do.
Well, give
Go
me
crazy.
5 minutes on Yanni. And why everyone should listen.
You know, I like you guys. You guys are funny.
That's right.
You don't talk about sports.
Never.
You don't. Maybe not your grandmother's apple pie. But listen, you guys sing karaoke. You talk about, you know, sex. You talk about farting. I don't know. I listen. To, not you guys.
Well, you've nailed it. You hit the nail on the head. That I got to give you. You do listen. I mean, when you put it that way, maybe we're not the greatest.
That's how we won the Marconi.
No.
That was the cell job.
No, well, listen,
it's,
no, she's not wrong.
Good, but stop putting down a woman because she's
stop,
with stop
the woman.
Turning into a woman. We put down, Fred just named three her. Male hosts that are on before us that we ripped on even more so than Amy Lawrence.
Well, one
and
of them.
They probably deserved it, but she.
All right, fair enough. All right, fair enough. You like Amy Lawrence, okay? Right.
And make people think about it.
We're not going to lie. If we don't like something,
it's not
why?
A lie.
And by the way.
Listen to her for five
okay,
minutes.
Listen.
Tell me, hey, you tell
this
me how
is,
much you love communism. Could you do that for me for 30 seconds?
Well,
tell me how great communism
I
is.
I could do that. Hey, John, did you know that she was at John's second wedding, the one that worked?
What's that?
Amy Lawrence was at John's second wedding, John Wallach's second wedding. She was a guest.
I know. I was surprised to hear that, actually. So he actually.
You know, because
her,
you
so
were there.
Like
you're related
her.
To Amy Lawrence.
Oh, stop it. She just loves Amy Lawrence. All right.
This woman was
all right,
not
Jennifer.
Invited.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you for your defense of Amy Lawrence.
Give it some thought.
I'll think about it all day. I can't get enough. Well, that was that.
Here's the tweets. This is Amy Lawrence's mom. 1,000% chance this is her sister or cousin. There's no chance that Jennifer is related to Amy Lawrence. Listen, who knows? Who knows? She likes what she likes, but don't tell me what to like.
But I mean, but calling something sexist in that nature is absolutely an insult to women. because we all know that it all started and ended with Face Through Sports.
Do we have any David Stein? David Stein was
when we first started, we were on the Sporting News Radio Network, and it was fascinating. Just to show you how inept some people that run networks are, he was a guy that like would look like everything had to be positive, and he would talk, and he'd go, I can't even describe it.
Hang on, let me see if this is it, David Stein.
Now, we've been doing Random Act of Kindness Monday for over a year. Last week, we suggested, since it was Girl Scout cookie season, to give the $4 to the Girl Scout and tell her to give the cookies to somebody who looks hungry.
Okay, well, that's real safe. That's a safe thing to do. Hey, 7-year-old, I want you to go walk up to that hobo with a knife and hand him this thing of cookies.
Just all of a sudden, the dolphin's got a big sack of cookies walking around town.
By the way,
you look like you're hungry.
What is it with him playing like all this Skinamax music in the background too? Was that like Enigma? He's talking about. Like,
now we've been doing Random Act of Kindness Monday for over a year. Last week we suggested, since it was Girl Scout cookie season,
don't do it.
To give the $4 to the Girl Scout and tell her to give the cookies to somebody who looks hungry.
Yes, and here comes Emmanuel in space.
Yeah, and there's nothing that someone who's homeless would want more than a huge bag of cookies. They'll live forever. That's what you're going to do? Why don't you just give the guy $4?
Yeah.
Well, I guess then you didn't give the Girl Scouts the $4. Oh, what a web we weave there, Ben Shapiro. We will return. And we will have more on random kindness acts on a Monday morning.
Kutcher and Rich.
Sunny at 5, the Sports Hub. We are Kutcher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Well, it is too bad that during Rick Nash's first game with the Bruins, the team around him had to do this.
Near point now, Scandella. Raked wide, and Antipin. Miller poised to leave the box. He's out. Bruins kill it off. They stay down by two. Puck set out in front. They score. Hudobin a little late, getting over to the near post. Didn't get set. Puck squeaked by him. 4-1 Sabres.
Well, the Bruins just don't show up in Buffalo and get their doors blown off by one of the worst teams in the league. 4-1, the final score. It's the first time the Bees have lost two regulation games in a row since the middle of November. And this was a Sabres team playing without Jack Eichel, Evander Kane. They still couldn't stop guys like Benoit Pouliot scoring on them. Oh, it is amazing just how much Jack Edwards still hates Benoit Pouliot. He's hated that guy for years. Best.
When he was with Montreal, it was really bad.
He hated him. And by the way, he was very polite and held his tongue for that brief stint that he was with the Bruins. But right. Who can forget this greatest hit?
Pouliot with a spectacular miss. What a chump. And Ferris is going to rip his head off here. 2-3, right to the mark. One of the greatest disappointments of talent in National Hockey League history. He's a really high draft pick, but he's never done anything with his talent. Trying to make a name for himself here in the playoffs. He's lining up against Andrew Ferris. He's a much bigger man, but he's got a real tussle on his hands here. Going for a wrestle, and Ferris gets the takedown. No surprise.
And even last night, or yesterday, he just could not hold in the disdain for Benoit Pouliot. I mean, like, he really... To be honest, I've never really heard him rip on another player the way he does Benoit Pouliot. I don't get it.
Well, he probably ripped on Ott. I mean, but he probably ripped there's probably a couple guys, but yeah, not many.
Yeah, for some reason, I just couldn't think of any, just because he always goes all in, except, of course, for, what was it, like 2 months that Benoit Pouliot was on the Bruins? Wasn't that a trade deadline thing?
Pouliot's been in the league for like 11 years. I mean, he was the fourth overall pick. He's been in the league for 11 years. That's pretty good.
What a chump. I just love my difference.
No, he's never scored 20 goals, but he's been in the NHL for 11 years,
sure.
Which you would expect a high first-round draft pick to do, right?
Sure, okay. He looked pretty damn good yesterday, unfortunately. Well, either way, it was a bad start to the Rick Nash era of the Bruins. Not much fault to Rick Nash himself, who looked pretty good. Here is Bruce Cassidy afterwards.
We looked slow, especially below our goal line, D-zone coverage. We got, you know, running out of position on a couple of goals. Just inexcusable for this time of the year, veteran players as well. It's one thing, you know, every team has good players. If you get beat one-on-one sometimes, or, you know, it's going to happen. But I thought our breakdowns were... Mentally unacceptable.
Yeah, gross game. So the trade deadline.
By the way, you know who the best player was for the Bruins last night? Rick Nash. Yeah, Rick Nash played really well last night.
He did. Yep. He hit the bar at one point. And, I mean, listen, he's exactly what you need. It looks like he's going to fit in just fine there next to David Krejci. So the trade deadline ends at 3 p.m. today. We'll have Joe Haggerty on with us in studio at 9 a.m. And Flutish and Zawa is going to be up next hour to think if there's going to be any more moves. You got to think that they're probably more than likely done, but who the hell knows? Next up, the Bruins take on Carolina at home tomorrow night. Puck drops at 7 p.m. right here. 98.5 The Sports Hub. And hey, guess who still isn't officially signed to the Boston Red Sox? J.D. Martinez. But according to reports, they're finally going to introduce him this morning, and then, of course, fun will ensue. So what took so long? It's being reported that it was a medical problem holding up the deal. No official word on what the actual problem is, although I've heard some say that it has to do with his foot. Are you hearing the same thing, John?
Yeah, Liz Frank.
Rios.
He could have been. Could have been that.
Bad case of the Rhea.
Bad case of the Rhea. A week long case of the Rhea.
This happens before.
He had a Liz Frank issue. Joel Sherman, who writes for the New York Post and is an insider in the MLB Network, tweeted out last night that it was a pre existing issue, an old issue. It's not an issue now. It caused them to rework some language in the contract. It's still a 5-year, $110 million deal, but apparently the Red Sox now have built in protections against something that he had in the past. It's not an issue now.
Are we maybe finally realizing why the Red Sox were seemingly the only ones bidding on this guy? Are you worried at all that...
No, I'm not worried.
People might have known something that the rest of the league did not know?
I think more than anything, people are just stacking their coffers so they can go after the free agent class that's coming up.
Next year is going to be enormous.
I would agree with that. Yep.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to jump the gun on J.D. Martinez when I can turn around and, you know, maybe get a Bryce Harper or a Manny Machado.
So will it happen? All I know is that our friend Jared Carrabas was the first one to say that he had heard they are planning on it. Doesn't mean it's definitely going to happen. And, John, you told me that for the first time this week they've cleared out all the tables.
I saw photographs last night from JetBlue Park where they have cleared out all the media lunchroom tables and put a big podium there and a table with three microphones. I mean, apparently, this is actually the thing, and apparently it's going to be at 9.
So it's like a middle school when you have your baseball draft.
That's right.
They've cleared the cafeteria.
That's right. Or they have some high school kid who declares for which college he's going to go to.
That's even too much.
Oh, okay.
No, what you're describing is an NAA meeting where they've taken...
I've been to those. I know what you're talking about.
They've taken the tables out and they've put in folding chairs.
They cleared out of Newton Middle School. Yes, yeah. I've seen that.
This sounds awfully similar.
Oh, the deuce chills I'm getting just thinking of those meetings.
That sounds awfully similar to what happens at the youth sports level.
Yeah. Yep, that's right.
They've taken out to the media dining room.
They've taken around all those circular tables with the folding chairs and got rid of them all.
Right.
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
All I know is that the Fro was very concerned last week.
Squish.
That this was all just going to fall apart.
Wobble, wobble.
Yeah. That's right. And by the way, Fred, even last week, I couldn't hear a clip and not hear birds in the background and just think of them nesting inside Dan Shaughnessy's Fro.
Yeah, they nest in his Fro.
That's right. So I'm sure he will be there as well. And I'm sure one of the first questions at the press conference will be, why the hell did this take so long? What do we need to be worried about? And the Fro will be right there to make sure that questions are indeed answered.
And what will his hair say?
Well, his hair will have to say...
Squish.
well, once he gets the answers he wants, he'll be...
Oh, happy Fro Day.
That's right. So... how will your Fro feel after it's all done, said and done?
I was the classiest carrot top in the press box. So fluffy.
It's very fluffy.
The best thing about Dan is he'll come in like a half an hour before he does Zoe and Bertrand, and he sits in the kitchen with a notepad and talks on the landline.
He's the only person I've ever seen use a landline in the past like 2 years.
And I think it's a landline that we probably only have to call 911.
You think he calls people that he doesn't want to know his cell phone number?
I think it's just convenient for him. He trusts the landline.
Sources.
Yeah. It can't get traced back to him.
Okay.
Jiggle me like a jello mold.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and sometimes the humidity out there, you know, the JetBlue Park, he can start looking a little bit like a redheaded Kenny G.
My frizz factor at 10.
Yes, it is.
Well, I went on vacation, which means, of course, something went wrong.
Oh, happy Fro Day.
Something, of course, went... It was not a happy Fro Day.
I heard
day.
The trip down was fun.
Oh, it was marvelous.
Whoosh.
There's really no... I mean, you have to go places, and I don't know why you have to fly. I don't know who's enjoying, or if it only happens to me. But in Boston, it's just impossible to get out of because you can't fly anywhere.